miracle worker. Amen. I'd reach out to the one that's here to meet you right where you're at. I would reach out to the one that brought you to the place before him that saved you and set you free. Hallelujah. If you need a miracle tonight, I'm telling you to reach out and grab what he has for you.
You Praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I see all those bright faces out there. I'm glad you're here. Praise God. And I promise to not just knee-jerk someone out of the congregation tonight and scare people off. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to be under control. I don't know.
Okay, before we get going, you didn't make an announcement that we need to have announced every service. What we as a women's group, I don't know what we've called ourselves yet, but we want to, we've been doing different things. We went to the nursing home last month, and Jeannie made these beautiful jars of flowers and hand sanitizers, and then we had Karen and Marsha make goods, baked goods. She made some cupcakes. Marsha made some cookies, and we took them out for the staff. We didn't give those to the residents. We gave the baked goods to them, but we gave them flowers, and we just prayed over them.
Amen.
And so we've been trying to think of ways that we can do more as an outreach, as a, you know. So Marie and the rest of them wanted to do something for, there is going to be a new group home, or a, it's not a group home.
Shelter.
Safe home, yes. Shelter home for women, for battered women.
Amen.
It's in the works. It's being done. The board's put together, all that kind of stuff. They're looking for a house because the last one was compromised, obviously. If it's going to be a safe haven place for people to go, then you can't know where it's at. So, but we wanted to help. And so Marie is on the board of Hardin
yes.
County.
Yes.
Which they work together.
Amen.
And so she went and asked for us. And what we're going to do is we're going to, as a women, we're going to, and men, you can definitely jump in on this. You just won't be going, you just won't be coming with us to pack it. But we're going to take up items that if you had to leave your house right now without a moment's notice, what would you need? And we figure we're going to do the travel size of the items. So shampoos, conditioners, deodorants, toothpaste, sorry men, tampons, pads, like that kind of stuff. Feminine
amen.
Products, I should have said that.
Amen,
but
amen.
Sorry, live stream, sorry. But just the
let's time. Just be real, amen. Praise God.
That's
there's
one thing
nothing
you will get when you
with...
come to me. I
amen.
Can't, I don't know how
amen.
To, yeah.
Amen.
But we want to do something. And then, women, we're going to come together in April, the last Saturday in April, I believe, here at the church at 9 o'clock, and we're going to come together, and we're going to pack these. We're going to put them, like, in a plastic baggie, and we're going to pack these gallon or whatever size baggies that we have. But what we want from you, women, is if you – this is the thing that we think will make the most impact, is if you will pray and you will seek God for a word for these women, and you'll write a note if God brings scriptures to your heart, if you want to write a letter to them, just something that encourages them in the Lord to know that he is faithful and there is hope out there and he is our hope. Amen. Can be a card. We have a goal that we want you to believe with us for. We believe we're going to put 100 of them together.
Amen.
So if you say, you know what, I want to do that, but I don't really want to go shopping, just put an offering in, mark it, Outreach Safe Haven. Okay. Outreach Safe Haven. And we'll make sure that we put that in a fund that we gather it up, and when it comes time, we'll go and buy what we need left
mm-hmm.
with that money, okay? So, men, you're welcome to give towards it and go shop for it if you like. Phil, you like to shop more, and I like
amen.
To shop.
Amen. You know I'm going to do my shopping.
Amen. And their
amen.
Time of...
And I had three sisters, so I'm not afraid to buy what's ever needed. Amen.
That's
I
the
used
truth.
To take my time and go to the store... Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
You still take your time to go to the store.
I still do it now. So I think
amen.
That was warm up for now. So
amen. Amen. So we want to get that out there to those that weren't able to get to our meetings right away so that you knew what we were doing and could be part of it. Amen. Okay.
Praise the name
That's
of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, that is a lot and enough. I think that it's a blessing. Praise God. Now, we are off script tonight because normally we get to tell you when we're having a guest in the house, and I get to challenge you and tell you ahead of time to give and all that good stuff. But tonight, we're doing everything by faith. I love to do that. So right now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let Pastor Jared and the young faith folks we have here, praise God, they're going to head down and get Children's Church started. And in the meantime, I'm going to tell you that even though it's a surprise to us all, I still feel it in my heart that we're going to do our chance to give an offering at the end of service. We're going to do our regular offering now, but even though it's a non-scheduled, predetermined, this is a moment God opened up these schedules. I've been wanting Pastor Matt to come here for what? We've been working on it for a couple years now, and it's going to work out, but tonight he was just thought he was going to get to come and just be with us. He said, Pastor Phil, my schedule's opened up, and I've just wanted to come and be a part of the church with you. You know that. He said, can I come? And I made him commit, and then after he committed and thought he was going to get to relax, I let him know that after a couple of days of praying between Sunday and yesterday, I said, hey, I would really like for you to bring a word. And, of course, God was handling things on his end already, so what we're going to do right now, though, is just take up our regular tithe and offering, and I want to just tell you two things. That number one, the Bible says, prove me now, herewith saith the Lord, and see. Listen, I want you to know that when I began tithing, I was like anybody else. I was scared, nervous. I released that tithe, and we, you know, at that time, we were struggling. We would go a couple days at the end of the week, I would, not eating and all that kind of stuff and really streaming our budget down. But I got to tell you something. Sometimes that's why the Lord gives you the partner you need. Because even when I was weak and I was thinking maybe I should do this and tithe later, the stronger one in our relationship that's more black and white said, no, we've started this. We're doing it now. And of course, you know, my faith was there. You know, if ever she was getting a little hindrance, we would tithe and just do that kind of stuff. Because here's what I want you to know. The Bible says, prove me now, the Lord says, and see what I will do. Let me in to every area of your life, and not just part way. Let me in there. Trust me, and I'll press it down, shake it together, make it expand. I remember that there was a woman one time that was down to just enough to make a meal for her and her child. She said, I'm going to make this last meal, baby, before we starve. And we're going to eat this, and then we're probably going to starve. And a man of God came through, and he said, hey, out of that little meal, take me a piece and make me a cake. I mean, Jesus, man, come on, pal. Just her and her son, and she's just down to her last little bit. But she stirred herself up. And the Lord even told him ahead of time, said, I've already commanded her. And I'm telling you right now that when it comes to these things, God has already spoken to us. It's whether we will agree with what he asked us to do. He said, I need you to go to this city. I've already commanded her that you're coming and what to do. And sure enough, he said, make me a cake. She did it. And lo and behold, not only did that meal last for them that night and that week, but there was enough meal that absolutely provided for her and her son for as long as they needed. Amen. And God will provide for you without fail. And let's be confident in that. Amen. So let's bring our tithes and offerings to the front. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that according to your word, God, you want us to prove you, Father. Lord, you want us to use our faith. Whether it's in the finances, God, in our relationships, in the physical healing of our bodies, God. In every area of our life, God, you want us to know that you have provided for us. You are our Jehovah Jireh, God. You are whatever we need. Whenever it's needed, Father, you will add to our lives. And Father, tonight, I just want to pray blessing over this offering, God. And Father, I declare your goodness. Hallelujah. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And remember, if you just have one offering tonight, don't forget that at the end of the service, we will take up an offering for Pastor Matt and his ministry, and we just believe God's going to do great things tonight. Amen. God bless you. Bring your offerings to the front. Well, praise God, I want you to know that there's some folks I know tonight that are at the hospital in different places, and I want you to know that God is good to us, but I am thankful for each and every one of you that's here. I promise you, tonight is a moment that God has created for us along this journey that we are headed into, and I thank God for it. Without any further hold back, my friend Pastor Matt Nichols is the pastor of Soul Harvest Church in the big metropolis of Cloverdale, Indiana. And though we have the city of God right here in Kenton, Ohio, we know that Cloverdale is the city of Indiana, praise God. We've traveled together on trips and missions, but God just, he came to a pastor's fast and to a pastoral meeting we had at the church in Botkins. And once we met, it was an infusement of God. So just come up here and share your heart, brother. God bless you. Amen.
I'm going to grab these music stands over here. Hey, good evening, everybody. You can be seated. I tell you, just to get it out of the way, the answer is 6'7". And no, I don't have to answer that 25 times. I'm from Ohio. I'm a Buckeye. And, I root for my favorite professional football team in Ohio is the Ohio State Buckeyes. But I'm a big Buckeye fan. I grew up on the other end of the state. If you know, maybe some of you heard of Salt Fork State Park. Okay, and I grew up 2 miles from the park, which is the Bigfoot capital of the Midwest. And I don't know that anybody's ever seen Bigfoot and I in the same room, but I'm not going to make any insinuations. So, what a joy to be with you. I went to college in Columbus, went to Capital University, played a little bit of ball there, and found out real quick that as fun and as promising as that was, God was calling me to something deeper. And I got radical for Christ, left behind the scholarships and a lot of the career pursuit of being an attorney, and went to Bible college, married my wife, met her there, and we've got almost 25 years of marriage under our belt, praise God. 3 kids, 2 of them are in Bible college now, preparing for the ministry. My oldest one is saying, Dad, he's going to graduate here in a couple months, and he's going to the Marines for 4 years. And he says, yeah, I'm going to serve our country. And then he says, Dad, when I get out, I'm going to I want you to retire. I'm just going to take over your job. I said, well, honey, you're going to have to get a few years under your belt before I hand it over to you. And my daughter has been on a mission trip with Pastor Philip and I, and she's studying to be, she's not sure she's going to end up as a missionary, or she's also very interested in tech and all those things that would help people in church to connect. So that's kind of where we're at. But what a joy. I've been wanting to come over here for a long time. I didn't even have to preach. Just wanted to come and be with you and just rub shoulders. And maybe tonight I'll tell you our story a little bit and encourage you. I've got a lot of things up here. I've got a message right here. I've got some encouragement over here. I've got my phone that has the time on it right here, and we'll do our best to get you out of here in a reasonable time. Amen. There's a couple things that go good with shortening. Number one is biscuits, and number two is preaching. Amen. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. I feel like I'm at home. Are you guys? We're family. We're family. Praise God. Let's open in prayer. Father, I just ask you to put me on tonight as your microphone. And I thank you for the spirit of encouragement coming upon me and the Holy Ghost being activated in this place to move. I thank you for hearts and lives being changed. I thank you for those watching online. Lord, they're going to feel the tangible presence of God even when they're watching. And Lord, for those of us that are here, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Well, you must be some of the most special people in the world. And here's why I say that. And I mean this. Because God sent some of his very best to Canton, Ohio to lead this church. And you must be very, very special to God. For him to say, I could have put Pastor Philip and Pastor Regina anywhere on the face of the earth, and they would have gone. But they ended up in Canton, Ohio. I'm going to believe God. I am so privileged to share this. I'm not going to share this pulpit, but I'm going to share these with this church tonight. And I feel just honored to be handed the microphone from such a great man and great woman of God. So thank you. Let's honor our pastors here tonight. And I just want to say, just take a quick moment, because I'm a pastor. And I know what it takes for all the volunteers and all the volunteer hours to have just one simple service. And for the people who came in and cleaned the church and straightened the offering envelopes, and for the folks that, you know, our praise team was excellent tonight. And it wasn't just them performing, but we were worshiping the Lord. But it's a lot easier to worship the Lord when the praise team is not croning and when they're on beat. I mean, I can worship when they're off beat and when they're croning, but it is a little bit easier when they're on. I mean, and that takes practice and that takes rehearsals. And these people have agreed to live their life at a certain level above reproach. The folks that are ushering tonight, the folks teaching and children and babies, and all the folks that come together and say, you know what, we're coming to serve, not just to be blessed, but we're coming to be a blessing. Amen. But when you be a blessing, you get blessed in return. So I just want to say thank you to all that have served. I appreciate you as a pastor. And I know nothing that this church cannot go beyond what people are willing to serve and be a part of doing. So I want to recognize you and thank you for the spirit of love in this place. Let me give you the Soul Harvest story. Our church, I was an associate pastor and a youth pastor in northern Indiana. And by the way, this is a terrible time for Indiana right now. I don't know. I grew up in Ohio, so it's not that big of a deal for me. But in Indiana, these people are freaking out because daylight savings time just happened. All right. And if you grew up in Indiana, they didn't have any daylight savings time until just a few years ago. And so they're all still getting used to the idea. And I'm telling you what, you just walk up and down the street this week in Indiana, people just want to kill each other. They're like, I hate daylight savings time. I hate you. And we have to keep reminding them, hey, we got the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's okay. You know what, I mean, seriously, we have to accommodate this in church. And so we've just learned on the day you spring forward, we have complimentary donuts, and I tell them to put extra caffeine in the coffee. And, man, we sugar them up good. They didn't grow up with it. I'm from Ohio, so I was used to it. But very interesting. So you pray for Indiana this week that we survive the crises of daylight savings time. But the Soul Harvest story, my wife and I came out of Bible college and served in northern Indiana, loved a great church up there. We were in an associate role. I was the administrator, as well as I started off as youth minister, but ended up as the administrator after 8 years. And we came and said, you know, we told our pastor, we feel like the Lord is telling us he wants us to start a work from scratch, and would you bless it? And you know what happened? They came back and said, we don't think you're ready. We think you need to stay. And you know what we did? We honored the voice of our pastor. And we said, yes, sir. And so we stayed. And God blessed it. And during that time, not only did God do extra preparation in our heart, but there came a financial blessing upon our lives that funded the first year of our ministry when it was time to move. Amen. And about a year and a half later, we went back to pastor, said, hey, we still have the call. Would you release us? Would you bless us? And they said, absolutely, we feel it too. Go and be blessed. And you would think that, you know, with that kind of a thing, we would just be so, I mean, we So we started June 2nd, 2002, in a conference room of a Days Inn in Indianapolis. And we had 12 people that first Sunday. And I'm telling you what, we felt like, that's all I need, bless the Lord. We are going to change. We're going to light it on fire. I did not account that those 12 people were all our friends and family who came to support us for the first service. The second service, we had 4 people. And that was my wife and my 2 small children at the time. Then the third service, we had 4 people. As a matter of fact, if you fast forward about a year, we had 4 people. Not the start we had in mind. I wasn't thinking we were going to just change the world and have mega revival and just have thousands and thousands. Well, we had thousands staying away. And so in 2003, after a year and a half, and there were a few times somebody would walk into that conference room, and it was very awkward. They would sit about where you were sitting, and my wife and kids would sit up here, and there was 20 chairs in the conference room. And so I'd preach to my wife and kids for a couple minutes, and I'd preach to him for a couple minutes, or her. I'd preach to them for a couple minutes. I'd preach to them for a couple minutes. And after a while, we'd just say amen, and they'd say thank you very much. That was an inspiring message. Praise God. And then they'd run out as fast as they could, and we'd never see them again. And then about 2003, that hurts, by the way. I can laugh about it now, but when you're going through that, it hurts. And in 2003, we said, I looked at my wife and said, this ain't working. And there was actually a church in Xenia, Ohio, that was asking us to come be their pastor. Boy, that looked good. I'm telling you what, it looked good. If the devil can't get with you with the bad, he'll get you with the good. And so we said, we're going to pray all night until God speaks to us. And we put the kids to bed one night, and this, I believe it was in August, and we turned our little boombox CD player on. We turned the praise and worship music on, and I got on my knees and said, okay, I'm going to pray all night, and then maybe by morning God will speak to me. And when my knee hit the floor, God spoke. And he said, now you've seen what you can do. Now you're going to see what I can do. Cast your nets to the other side. Amen. And he gave us that word in 2003. We're going to see what he can do. And I said, praise God. And so I made this prayer. I said, Lord, if you really want us to stay here. And at the time I worked for us, I had a secular job. It was offering me all sorts of money to move and just a few different things. But I said, Lord, if you want us to stay, you're going to have to give us a building. And by the way, we can't even afford a chair, let alone a building. And so we took all the money we had left and we said, okay, God, we're giving this away. And we sold it into another church's building fund. And we said, okay, God, we're going to see what you can do. And within 2 weeks, we got the proverbial phone call, and the guy on the other line says, you're not by chance looking for a building, are you? And I said, as a matter of fact, I am. And so he gave me directions. We went out, and it was this old, run-down, nasty, just smelly. It was smaller than this, older than this. Nowhere near as nice as this. That bathroom is immaculate compared to the bathroom that it had. But it had some pews in it. It had an old wooden pulpit about 3 times the size of this. It had a stage that was raised like this. It had 1/4-inch plywood on top. And it was not glued down. So every time I went, you felt like, oh, Lord Jesus, he's going through today. And we got in there, and we had to drive way out into the country. Way out into the country. This was toward a town called Cloverdale, Indiana, population 2,184, 70% poverty rate in Cloverdale. And it was out in the cornfields about 10 miles from town, about 2 cornfields past Indianapolis suburbs. And he asked me, he said, will you take this building? I said, thank you, but this isn't what we're looking for. And he said, would you pray about it? And I gave the spiritual answer, of course I'll pray about it. And so my prayer was this, Lord, this is not my building. Amen. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? But the thing is, he got a word in before I said amen. And before I could say amen, he said, that's your building. And I said, no, are you punishing me? It's bad enough. I haven't had anybody come to my church in the middle of Indianapolis for 18 months. Now you're bringing me out here to the cornfield where let me die out here. So we took it. And we did the best we could. It smelled, man. It had an old oil furnace. And so we put air fresheners everywhere we could put. We cleaned up all the nasty stuff. I'll tell you a funny story, and you might appreciate this. Maybe you won't. I hope so. But if not, just rebuke me later. But they had, in the yard of this old country church, there was all these crosses. And they all dry rotted. They were just, and they made no sense whatsoever. And they were in where the people were supposed to be parking. Without thinking, we were going to have a bonfire and burn everything. And we put all these crosses together. And I said, oh, we realized what we had done after we did it. And I was like, oh, Jesus, forgive me, forgive me. Nobody drive by. Nobody drive by. Nobody drive by in the name of Jesus. Here comes the call.
While we were there, so many people got really frustrated. taken on a long trip. Some of you got saved here. Some of you got healed here. Some of you have babies here. Got married. They're a sacred memory. We don't ever discount their sacred memories. But this building was not built for this generation. This building was built 3 generations ago. This building wasn't built for a praise team that can kind of really have a praise, so to speak. This wasn't built for the era of kids ministry, youth ministry was important. This wasn't built in an era, or in this era, this was built when people still had conferences. That was considered a lesson. But most people look at that and say, that's not a lesson. And then we'll take the outhouse for the job. I'm not saying people could do a bad job, but just know. And so, the other thing you need to know is a building is hard work. It's work. It does demand a lot from a company. It's going to take some patience and some love. It's going to take some unity and some empathy. Because here's what I wrote down a couple times. They need your unity. They need your prayer. They need your grace. They need your greatness. They need your greatness. We can pay somebody to come out of heaven and come out of the doors. Or we can tell them to come out of the doors. We can tell them to come out of the doors. Say, come to the house. We can do this. We can do this. The thing is, we're going to go on. We got the power of God when we get through. And there is more than something. There's more than one way to go. Let me tell you what. Let's think about it. The first house my wife and I built. First hour was spent arguing. I realized I think I have a different group of things. Well, different group of things have different techniques. And so the first thing we did was go to the 2 or 3 guys argue of whether we were going to stay for the night. And then whether we were going to go off the card paper or bring it to chop our own. And then how we were going to cut the people at the end. Were we going to lock them and then cut them all at once, or were we going to cut each people at a time? And then there was one time where 2 sets of fingers meet each other. And we would have thought we were designing a rocket ship from NASA. And I found the best thing you could do that day was to bring those sets of people. And I did it myself. There was more than one way to do it. Okay? You guys are getting close. You already broke the ground. You're getting close. But the biggest thing that's the first thing that's power to make that blessing. Because God is going to be able to care for you about it. And if you look at that way, if you're going to donate your kid's life or a child to build it, then we'll do it for you. This is the total way to build it. God, you will not build it to do it. That's part of the setting. Part of it is the reality is that we built this. It will attract people. There will be people that come to church because they feel special. I'm not against this guy. You're special to the people. But listen, there are people that won't go to church because of this guy. Can I just be honest with you? Ask me how I know. Well, I got one. We believe that the country is a building like this, we got a house. I took that and made it to church. Oh, we've been wanting to come to church for years, but we just want to find out there. We don't have to put up all the time. We're going to put it. We just call the building. Would you be aware of the sacrifice? Number three, if the Lord tells you something, will you obey it? Number four, will you pray until you get to it? You know, it's one thing that God says, I want you to do this for God. Don't worry what God has given you. Thank you. totally obeyed what we do. And it goes faster than the one before. So I just share that with you tonight. This is incredible. You're going into a very special time. Take you over to Genesis 13, and we're going to study the main character of our message tonight is Lot. In chapter 13, verses 5 through 13, Lot went with Abraham. God tells you to do something, you need to do it. That's where it's 90% of it. It's 90% of it. We're going to do 100% of it. God's in Abraham, leave the family behind. That's when you know Lot's traveling, his nephew is traveling with him. Leave his horse back for him. So Lot traveled with Abraham. Now, one thing we see, I didn't read to you, but it says about Abraham, he was rich. He had silver, and he had gold, and he had livestock. The man was rich. Why? Because the blessing of God was on Abraham. God said, I want to bless you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I want you to know part of God's plan for our life is to bless us. Part of God's plan for us is to prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. It's okay to say, God, I want to prosper. It's okay to say, God, I want to be healthy. Amen. And so in Lot, Abraham's promise of prosperity, God blesses him. He becomes rich. Lot is traveling with them. And here's what you see. Lot becomes rich. Let's pick it up in verse 5. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and pigs. Now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites also dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, I will go to the left. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plains of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as far as you go toward Zoar. I'm reading fast. I'm at verse 11. Then Lot chose for himself all the plains of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain that pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. Who was the blessing of? Abraham. Abraham became rich. Lot with Abraham. What happens to Lot when he's traveling with Abraham? You get rich too. Why? Because when you walk with the wise, you become Listen, don't ever come against the man of God, because even when he's wrong, he's right. Now, I'm not talking about stupid stuff. I'm not, don't do any kind of contest here. But I'm talking about, so the Lord says, take the door white, and he takes the door off white. Abraham was blessed. Lot was blessed because he went with Abraham. Which means when they hurt the beast of war, Lot of Lazarus was in war with Abraham. I am blessed by my own gifts. It has nothing to do with the covenant, with my own. And so when they were beginning to strive, he was going to lay his hands and go toe to toe with Abraham's hands. Abraham came and said, hey, this is what we got to do. Abraham was very small. He understood his blessing. He could do his gifts. He could do I want to tell you something that's going to happen soon. The population of 2,184. Let me tell you something that's told by the church. We don't tolerate strife. When I hear there's an issue, I don't wait. I don't just say, well, I said, we're dealing with that right now. Why? Because I'm not opening the door to strife. Because the devil, who's been wicked since day one, only knows there's a few tricks, and one of them is divide and conquer. And when strife comes in, you open the door to the devil. We close that door in his face and say, not in my house, devil. In the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke strife. That's why it's so important I'm here tonight. You need to hear this prophetically tonight. I tell you by the power of Jesus' name, this building shall be built, and it shall be that this voice in this congregation shall be lifted up, this one voice, crying and saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Amen. Lot chooses the well-watered plains of Canaan. He chose convenience and culture over confidence.
When the moment is with you, when your fear is left, I get tired and I get so upset when I hear people who complain and whine and hold a pain and pain and how bad it is and how bad our country is and how bad. Let me tell you something. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I am just a revival on this process that's happening. Praise God. I don't need fancy cities. I don't need Starbucks. I don't need all the culture. I just need me and Jesus, and that's enough. Not in the world did we find Kenton, Ohio. I don't know, but we're here, and because we're here, and two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of us. Lot was exposing his priorities. I picked wealth over family, convenience over my covenant, easy living over righteous living. Of not taking good counsel. He would get pissed and pissed, most likely, when it feels enslaved and lost justice. Abraham comes to the rescue with 318 servants in his house. The same servants that used to quarrel with Lot's herdsmen. And can you imagine Abraham going to those servants and saying, boys, Lot's in trouble. Lot's in big trouble. And we're going to have to risk our lives to go fix it. And in the back of their mind, they're thinking, well, of course he's in trouble. He's an idiot. But they're reading, well, you know the heart of the righteous always rests. You know what? I never think we have some terrible things happening. But the heart of the righteous, those that have been with Jesus, always cries out for mercy, always cries out for grace. I'm not praying for God to judge America. I'm praying for God's mercy to be shed abroad. And I'm praying for revival to sweep from the Midwest out and make waves and waves and waves of the love and the power of God to hit the coast and beyond. We don't want judgment on our enemies. We want the mercy and the forgiveness and the love of Jesus Christ to be made manifest. Abraham rescued him. He takes the money that he was all the persecuted possessions. He takes it and he goes back. He said, you know what? He gave it to him. Spoils it. Millions of dollars. And he goes back. You know what the second one does? He goes and buys that present. The priest that came to Jerusalem. Lord, that's not the Perversion is what the spirit of the Antichrist, and they come in the name of the Antichrist, and they're not coming just to have their little thing in their little corner. They're coming to take over and take you down. And I'm not saying, well, Pastor, that's a fear-mongering and this, that, and no, that is the truth. We have the Bible on that. That is Bible. They came to the righteous person's house. They came and demanded to have sex with angels. I don't think that they need to be said, that's Jesus. I do. Take my thoughts. If you look, this was somebody who was with the great man, Abraham. Don't come to God. Naomi, where you go, I'll go. Your God shall be my God, and your people shall be my people. And we're going to find out she redeemed that entire line of people because she honored covenant over culture. Put a handheld in my hand, and that came back from memories. Hallelujah. set my teeth in the first world back in the late 1980s, early 1990s. And that's when the preachers used their hands up. And, so, it's still your hands up. But God is going to take you to the top of your morning. Just to have a hands up. There you go.